When they came to the place where trees lay toppled like mown hay, Max hunkered down and sighted along a trunk.
"The sentry ran off in that direction," he said, holding his arm out. "Past that white beach. I noted its location at the time."
Dietrich saw a great many white beaches all alike. Trusting, he followed the soldier. But Max had walked only a few arm lengths into the brush when he stopped by the flat stump of a great oak.
"So, what is this?"
A bundle sat upon the stump.
"Food stolen from the boom," the sergeant said, opening the kerchief. "These are the loaves that Becker makes for the harvest meal. See how much longer they are than the normal loaf? And turnips? And, what's this?"
He sniffed.
"Ah, soured cabbage. And a pot of cheese."
Max turned, brandishing a loaf big enough to feed three men.
"Eating well, I think, for landless men."
Why would they abandon it? Dietrich wondered.
Max glanced about. "We frighten them off.
Hush!" He held an arm out to Dietrich to still him while his eyes searched the surrounding brush.
"Let's be on our way," he said more loudly,
and turned as if to proceed deeper into the woods. But at the sudden snap of a twig behind them, he whirled, and in two leaps grabbed hold of an arm.
"Gotcha, you rubbish!"
The figure, yanked from concealment, squealed like a yearling pig. Dietrich glimpsed a brocaded cover slot and two long flying yellow braids. "Hilda," he said. The miller's wife swung on Max, who had turned at Dietrich's cry, and struck him on the nose. Max howled and slapped her with his free hand, spinning her so that he could pull her other arm up high behind her back, nearly to her shoulder blade.
"Max, stop," Dietrich cried. "Let her go. It's Klaus's wife."
Max gave the arm another twist, then shoved the woman away. Hilda staggered a step or two, then turned.
"I thought you were robbers, come to steal the food I laid out for the poor."
Dietrich regarded the bread and cheese on the tree stump. "Ah, you are bringing the poachers food from the harvest meal? Since how long?" Dietrich wondered that Hilda should have done so. There was nothing of pride in the act.
"Since Sixtus Day. I leave it here on this stump just before sunset, after the harvest work. My husband never lacks for meal, and this is as good a use for it as any. I paid the baker's son to make loaves for me."
So that is how the fellow bought himself free of the boon work.
"But why?"
Hilda drew herself up and stood straight.
"It is my penance before God."
Max snorted.
"You should not have come out here alone."
"You said there were landless men here. I heard you."
Dietrich said, "Landless men can be dangerous."
"More dangerous than this doodle?"
Hilda jerked her head toward Max.
"The timid folk, they wait until I leave before they take the offering."
"So you thought to hide and have a look at them,"
the sergeant said.
"Womanly thinking. If they're serfs off their manor, they'll not wish to be seen."
She turned and wagged a finger at Schweitzer.
"Wait until I tell my class, the Meyer, how you handled me."
Max grinned.
"Will that be after you tell them how you go into the woods to feed poachers? Tell me, do you bite and scratch as well as you punch?"
"Come closer and learn."
Max smiled and took a step forward to Hilda's step back.
Then his gaze traveled past her and the smile froze. "God's wounds!"
Dietrich glimpsed a stealthy figure darting into the woods, with the food bundled up into the kerchief. He was a spindly sort, arms and legs too long for his body, joints too far down his limbs. He wore a belt of some shining material, but wore it too high to mark a waist. That much and grayish skin through strips of colorful cloth was all that Dietrich saw before the figure had disappeared into the brush. Hazel twigs rustled, an acorn jay complained. Then all was still.
"Did you see him?"
Max demanded.
"That pallor," said Dietrich. "I think he must be a leper."
"His face.
What about it?"
"He had no face."
"Ah, that oft happens in the last stages when the nose and ears rot off." They stood irresolute until Hildegard Müller stepped into the brush.
"Where are you going, you ignorant slattern?" Max cried.
Hilda cast a bleak look on Dietrich.
"You said they were landless men,"
she said in a voice like an overtuned lute string.
"You said it." Then she took two more steps into the hazelwood, stopped, and looked about.
Max closed his eyes and let out a breath. Then he pulled his quillion from its sheath and set after the miller's wife.
Max, said Dietrich, you said we should stay on the game trails.
The sergeant hacked an angry blaze into the tree.
The game has better sense. Stand still, you silly woman, you'll get yourself lost. God save us.
He squatted and ran some branches from a raspberry bush through his hand.
Broken, he said. That way.
And then he set off without looking to see if the others followed. Every few steps Max would stoop and examine the ground or a branch.
Long steps,
he muttered at one point.
See where the shoe has come down in the mud. Its fellow was back there.
Leaping, Dietrich guessed.
On deformed feet? Mark the shape. When have you ever heard of cripples leaping?
Acts, said Dietrich, chapter 3, verse 8.
Max grunted, stood, and brushed his knees.
This way, he said.
He led them by stages deeper into the forest, blazing at times a tree or arranging rocks upon the ground as a sign for which way they had come. They pushed past thickets and brambles, stepped over felled trees that had buried their heels in their path, stumbled down sudden ravines.
Love God, said Max when he had found the footprints once more. He leapt from one bank to the other.
The trees grew taller and farther apart, their branches arching overhead like the vaulting of a cathedral. Dietrich saw what Max had meant about the game trails. Here, protected by a ridge, no trees had fallen to the blast, and every direction looked the same. Bushes and smaller trees had abandoned the field to their triumphant seniors. A mat of leaf fall years thick softened their footsteps. Nor was there cue from the sun. Light was present only in shafts that arrow-like pierced the foliage above. When Max hacked a tree, muffled echoes spoke from every direction, so that Dietrich thought the sound itself had gotten lost. Hilda began to say something, but her voice too whispered from the stillness, and she quieted immediately and thereafter followed the Schweitzer more closely. In a small clearing where a brook chattered through the forest, they stopped to rest among the ferns. Dietrich sat on a mossy stone beside a pool. Max tested the water, then cupped his hands and drank from it.
Cold, he said as he refilled his water skin. It must run down from the Katharinenberg.
Hilda looked about and shivered. Woods are frightening places. Wolves live here and witches.
Max laughed at her.
Villager tales.
My parents were foresters. Did I ever tell you that, Pastor? We cut wood and sold it to the charcoal burners. We bought our grain from the valley folk, but fruits and meat we took from the forest. It was a quiet life, peaceful, and nobody bothered us much except once when a troop of Savoy's men came through on some quarrel.
He thought silently for a time, then rammed the stopper into his water skin.
That's when I left. You know what young men are like. I wondered if there was a world outside the forest, and the Savoyards needed a guide, so I went with them until I had shown them the way to somewhere. I've forgotten. They had a quarrel there with the Visconti over some worthless patch of the Piedmont. But I stayed with them and carried arms and fought the Milanese.
He took Dietrich's water skin and refilled it as well.
I found I liked it, he said as he handed it back. I don't think you can understand that, Pastor. The overcoming joy when your opponent falls, it's like having a woman. And I guess you don't understand that either. Mind you, I never killed a man who did not have his sword bared for me. I'm no murderer. But now you know why I can never go back, to live in the Alps after what I've seen, to live in a place like this.
And he swept his arm around him.
Hilda stared at the sergeant with a peculiar intensity. What sort of man enjoys killing?
A living one.
That utterance was greeted by silence from both the priest and the miller's wife, and in that silence they heard, through the continuo of chittering locusts, the sounds of distant hammers.
Max craned his neck.
That way.
close. Move quietly.